Thank you so much for joining with us as we kick off a brand new series. As you've heard, this is our 60th anniversary as a church family, and the theme for the year has been hope. Hope. There was an extensive study that was done a few years ago, and they wanted to look at the subject of hope. What is it? What are the keys for a person to have a high level of hope in their heart? And after this study, they came up with some very practical principles that if you practice these proven principles, you can see the hope begin to soar in your heart. And for the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at those four proven principles, and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to allow us to build those principles into our lives. And so at the end of this 30 days, you better watch out. Your hope may begin to soar. It may begin to rise. In fact, like the wind that lifts up a kite on a breezy day, are you ready to fly, Cathedral of Faith? Are you ready to fly? Amen. Well, let's get started with that first principle that I want to talk about today. Have you ever felt like this polar bear right up here? You can see him when you run out of gas right next to the station. Don't you hate when that happens? And so for the next few moments, I want to talk to you about refueling your tank. Refueling your tank. I'm going to ask you to stand with me for the reading of the scripture. It's from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. It reads this way. Everybody, can we say it together? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall lift up the wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Let's read it one more time. Everyone, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall lift up the wings as the eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Can we give God praise for his word? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for waking us up today. Thank you for our guests, Christ Afari, and having them lead us in worship. God, I thank you for all of our cathedral family and friends and guests that are here today. Lord, they've created space to come and meet you in this moment, and it's our heart that, God, you would receive the worship you deserve, and that in the process, our lives will be transformed. We pray that you would speak the one thing we need to hear. A lot of things will be said. Let us hear that one thing so we can put it into practice this week, and our lives will be different because we met you in this moment. That's our heart. That's our desire. All God's people said. Amen. We give God praise one more time. Amen. It's great to see everybody. I'm ready to fly. Say that with me. I'm ready to fly. Before you're seated, look at somebody and tell them, I'm ready to fly. Go ahead. I can feel hope beginning to rise in my heart. But it means you have to keep fuel in the tank if your hope is gonna soar. On the screens, you'll be able to see one of our spy planes in action. And the pilots who fly these planes, they have serious skill. These guys are something else. I mean, they fly at 60 to 70,000 feet high, right at the very edge of the Earth's atmosphere. They can actually see from that height the curvature of the earth. And one of the most famous of these pilots was a man by the name of Gary Powers. They even made a movie about him called The Bridge of Spies. Tom Hanks was the lead. But he was a pilot of one of these spy planes, and he ended up getting shot down over Russia and crashed. Now, somehow he survived that. And then he was in a Russian prison for 2 years, and somehow he survived that. And then he was involved in a prisoner exchange and came back to the States, and he started flying as a test pilot these dangerous developmental planes. and somehow he survived that. What an amazing pilot. And yet his story ends tragically with a crash. He's working as a weather helicopter guy down in Southern California, and he ends up crashing and being killed. And when they went to research, what was it that caused the crash? Did the rotor go bad? Did the high winds in the mountains somehow push the helicopter down? And they found out after the investigation that he simply ran out of gas. There was no more fuel in the tank. And it's such a graphic reminder that it doesn't matter what level of skill you have, what level of IQ you have, that if you don't keep full, if you don't refuel the tank, then you're setting yourself up for a crash. And so here's the question for you today as we get things started. What does the fuel tank look like for you? What does a fuel tank, even now, look like for you? Is it full? Is it medium? Are you running on empty? What is it that drains you? What is it that refuels you? I want to give you four different ideas of how you, this week, can refuel the tank. It can start today. The first idea is creating a healthy rhythm. Creating a healthy rhythm. Rhythm. Say that with me. Rhythm. Rhythm. How about if we get interactive? Didn't Christafari do a great job? Can we give it up for Christafari leading us in worship? They've got rhythm. I'll just do my best. But everybody, if you're comfortable snapping your fingers, would you go ahead and snap with me? Can we do that? Here we go, together. Let's get the rhythm down, all right? Now, let's put a little more groove in it. Here we go. Now, how about a little more swing to it? Here we go. All right, give yourself a hand. You got your groove. This is a key to keeping your tank full. Creating a right rhythm in your life. Resting and working. Giving and receiving. Engaging and withdrawing. This will keep your fuel tank, your tank full. Jesus, at once in Luke chapter 6, we read this about, Luke chapter 5, we read this about the ministry of Jesus. It says, despite Jesus' instructions, the report of his power spread even faster. Even faster. Say that with me. Even faster. And vast crowds. Say that with me. Vast crowds came to hear him preach and to be healed of their diseases. But Jesus often withdrew. Often withdrew. Say that with me. Often withdrew into the wilderness for prayer. Do you see how Jesus kept his rhythm? That even when news about him was going viral, even with his platform of influence expanding, he kept this sense of rhythm of working and resting and giving and receiving, of engaging and withdrawing, of being active and being still. Being still? The Bible says in Psalm chapter 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Let me ask you a question. Living in this valley, is this the hardest verse in the Bible to put into practice? To be still? Because we're always in a hurry. The pace of life here in the Silicon Valley is go, go, go. But in order to keep our rhythm and to make sure our tank is full, we have to slow down enough to find the right rhythm and get rid of hurry sickness. This is the key to making beautiful music in your life. I was talking to Pastor Vaughn one time about the subject of rhythm. And he was telling me that rhythm is so important to making beautiful music. Because without rhythm, all you have is chaos. And rhythm is what brings order out of chaos when it comes to music. And I was thinking about my life, that when I'm out of rhythm, you ever felt like that? My life is all over the place. How when I'm out of rhythm, it just feels chaotic. And if you're feeling like that today, that your life is just out of rhythm, can I encourage you? Jesus is the one who can help you to get your groove back. He is. Listen to his invitation. Yeah, let's give him praise. Listen to his invitation in Matthew chapter 11. He says, come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You still have a yoke, but that yoke is easy. You still have a burden, but that burden is light. Jesus can help you to get your groove back even when your world gets faster and your influence gets bigger and your territory is enlarged. With the help of Jesus, lean into him. Whatever stage of life you're at, whatever that looks like for you, Jesus can help you get your rhythm back. And that's so important to refueling the tank, giving and receiving, working and resting, engaging and withdrawing, being active and being still. Be still and know that he is God. Can we give him praise? Amen. For the wisdom. Now, here's another idea of how you can keep your tank refueled, and that is to understand the power of worship. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, let us keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out. Not avoiding worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. I saw this one little girl who is being baptized in church. Watch this.
Sarah, do you believe in Jesus?
Yes, sir.
Does he love you?
Yes, sir.
Where are you going one day?
Disney World.
Disney World. Hey. Disney World and heaven. It doesn't get any better.
All right. Laughter is one of the things you find in church. There are many benefits that from going to church. In fact, the Mayo Clinic has said that regular church attendees have lower blood pressure, stronger immune systems, and live on average 7 years longer. Can someone say amen to that? But the most important thing is that when we come together, this is what I call a refueling station. When we meet with God in this moment together, there is something powerful in corporate worship. When we worship, it recalibrates us. It reconnects us. It restores us. It refuels us. In worship, you regain your perspective. You regain your confidence. You regain your joy. And you regain your hope. There was a man by the name of Asaph in the Bible. He was a leader. He was a worship leader. But he was going through a season where he was really confused. His faith was weak. His hope was almost gone. But then he comes to church. And in church, he finds that's the turning point for him. He writes in Psalm 73, he says, when I tried to figure it out, all I got was a splitting headache until I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I saw the whole picture. that coming to church and worship, it became a turning point for him. And I know it's been a turning point for me. There have been seasons in my life where my faith was a bit weak and wobbly, and the hope tank was empty. Believe it or not, that can even happen to leaders as well. But then I came to the place of faith with the people of faith. I came to worship even when it was hard to raise my hands, even when it was hard to sing my song, even when it was hard to get out of bed and my heart was heavy. I came to church, and in the place of church, that became a game changer for me. I came in the door one way and I left a different way. Hallelujah to God. That's the kind of thing that can happen. If you want to keep your tank full, in the Religion and Health study, the Journal of Religion and Health says that people who attend worship regularly have higher levels of hope, gratitude, and purpose in life than those who do not. There's something about being in church together. And can I just take a moment and give you props? We live in the Silicon Valley. There are many different things you could have chosen to do today, but you made a decision to come and to worship God this morning. It didn't happen by accident. It happened because you were intentional about it. The culture we live in, less than 5% of the Bay Area is in a church on any given weekend, in any kind of church. And think of the Bay Area. I mean, in the South, when you tell somebody, or when you say, I go to church, they ask, which one? Here in the Bay Area, when you say you go to church, they say, you go to church? Yeah. But here, you've gone all cross-cultural, countercultural, and you've made a decision to come and worship God and to get refueled in this place today. Can we give God praise again for the blessing of corporate worship? Amen. Amen. So, to keep the tank full, you got to have the right rhythm. Understand the power of us worshiping together. And then third, respect the law of exposure. Respect the law of exposure. Last summer, during the Stars and Strides run to support health in our community, the Cathedral of Faith won the Community Cup. Let's give it up for the Cathedral of Faith. Way to go. Our participation. It just reinforced how we're committed to serving the city and being a blessing to the city. But let's say I wanted to raise the game next year for me, that I don't want to just win the Community Cup. I want to win. In my age group, I want to have the best time. I want to win that race. You go, Pastor Ken. What would a training routine like? Well, I'm not sure. I've never trained for a race. When it comes to running, my philosophy is no pain, no pain. That's my philosophy. But let's say I'm gonna go for it. I'm gonna train for this race. My guess is it would involve some, time at the gym. It would involve some time on the trail. I might have to spend some time in a hyperbolic chamber with this fine-tuned athletic machine here. But I can tell you what it probably wouldn't include is this right here. A steady diet of donuts. Because you know that what you put in your body consistently is going to have an impact on your ability to run. And the same thing is true when it comes to what we put in our minds. There's something called the law of exposure. And the law of exposure goes like this. What you open up your mind to repeatedly, the events you attend, the music you listen to, the images you watch, the daydreams you engage in, what you open your mind to repeatedly and expose your mind to repeatedly, it has a way of shaping your mindset. And your mindset has a way of shaping your decisions. And your decisions have a way of shaping your character. And your character has a way of shaping your destiny. So if I wanna be the very best version of myself, then I need to be taking in the best kind of food. And that is where the Bible comes in. Because the Bible is the best kind of food you can give to your soul. Jesus put it this way. He said, the words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational. Say that with me. Foundational words. Words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who built his house on a solid rock. Rain poured down. The river flooded. A tornado hit. But nothing moved the house. It was fixed to the rock. Can I encourage you? Build your home on the rock. Build your business on the rock. Build your eternity on the solid rock of the words of Jesus Christ. And that brings us to the cathedral challenge for the week. For the next 7 days, on the way out, you're gonna get a handout. And on that handout are gonna be listed 7 verses about hope. And I encourage you each day, before you get on Instagram or Twitter or TikTok or Facebook, expose your mind to the Word of God. Take one of these verses about hope, something like Psalm 42, which reads, "Why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God." Or Psalm 65, "You faithfully answer our prayers with awesome deeds. Oh God, our Savior, you are the hope of everyone on earth, even those who sail on distant seas." And it continues, "Put your hope in the Lord. Travel steadily along his path, and he will honor you by giving you the land." Or Matthew 12, "He will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle. Finally, he will cause justice to be victorious. And his name will be the hope of all the world." Can we give him praise? Amen. Well, even exposing our minds to the Word of God, I can feel hope beginning to rise in this place. And that brings us to the last idea. And the last idea is rub shoulders with energizing people. Rub shoulders with energizing people. The Bible says, godly people are careful. Are careful. Say that with me. Are careful about the friends that they choose. If you and I were having a heart-to-heart cup of coffee after church and I asked you, who are the people that drain you in your life? How would you answer that question? I saw this one dog who said, he said, when people suck the life out of you, wouldn't it be nice if they took some fat too? Amen about that. Who are the people that drain you? Is it a boss? Is it a neighbor? Is it an in-law? Is it an outlaw? I heard about one husband who heard the doorbell ring, and when he opened the door, his mother-in-law was on the front step. She said, "Can I stay here for a few days?" He said, "Yes, you can," and closed the door. That's not very nice. I'm in trouble later. Who are the draining people in your life that you know when you spend time with them, they're going to be negative and pessimistic and critical and discouraging, and it's going to drain you? Who you rub shoulders with has a way of rubbing off on you. It really does. If you spend most of your time with people who drain you, your fuel tank is going to be empty. And before you know it, you're going to be critical and you're going to be pessimistic, and you're going to be discouraged. Now, I'm not sure you can avoid all the people in your life who is draining. After all, you may be sitting next to one. Hello! But what you can do is you can limit the time you have with toxic people and spend most of the time around those who energize you. People who are positive, encouraging, edifying, full of hope. There was a man in the Bible that he was such an encourager, they changed his name. They changed his name to Barnabas. The name Barnabas means son of encouragement. That if Mr. and Mrs. Encouragement had a son, it would be Barnabas. Find yourself a Barnabas. There are always out there sons of this and sons of that. Find yourself a son of encouragement so you can rub shoulders with him. And that will keep you energized in life. Sometimes I'm asked, I'll be at a conference and someone will ask me, Pastor Ken, you're a unicorn. How have you been at one church for 44 years? How did you take steps of faith even when you were scared to death? How did you climb the mountains? How did you survive the valleys? Here's how. I found a Barnabas and his name is Dr. Wayne. His name is Dr. Wayne. Find yourself a Barnabas. Look, life is short. You only have so much time. So make sure you're spending enough time around those who help to build your faith and build your hope. One person said, it's hard to fly like an eagle when you're surrounded by turkeys. Make sure you spend enough time in your relationships, rubbing shoulders with positive people. The most important person to rub shoulders with is Jesus Christ. It really is. Make sure you're rubbing shoulders with Jesus. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and now we live with great expectation. Rub shoulders with Jesus Christ and watch your hope begin to soar. Will you bow your heads with me for just a moment? If you'd say, Pastor Ken, I know about Jesus. I've heard about Jesus. I like Jesus. I'm a fan of Jesus, but I've never really stepped across the line to become a follower of Jesus. Every journey starts with a step. And if that's the decision you're making today, I just want to agree with you that today is your day. Today's your day. God sees your heart. He sees your hand. If that's a decision you're making to put your faith and trust in Jesus, just lift up your hand real high and say, Pastor Ken, that's me. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you up in the balcony. God bless you. God bless you. Those who are outside, those watching online. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all of those who are stepping across the line of becoming followers of Jesus. Thank you for being so good to us. We put our trust in you. We surrender our life to you, and you make us a part of your family. We have so much to be grateful for and rejoice about. And God, I pray for all of those who are here today, wherever their tank is, if it's full, if it's midway, if they're running on empty, Holy Spirit, I pray that even now you begin to fill up our tank and that our hope will begin to rise and that we are ready to fly because our hope is in Jesus Christ.